It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings on Patriots.com Radio. I am Bill Enright with my sidekick, Anthony Grace. You know him as the PPR monster. Kevin Collins doing a great job taking your phone calls and keeping us on air. It's a big weekend in the NFL. We just got over week five, a lot of exciting action. We're also looking ahead to week six. Got a lot to do in today's show. Big injuries, waiver wire updates. We'll go through some of the action that happened in the Millionaire Maker DraftKings contest. We'll run down the new millionaires roster. It's pretty impressive, but nothing special, which really just goes to show that it's not rocket science to win $1 million playing fantasy football. If you can tell the bitterness in my voice, it's because, yeah, you're damn right I'm freaking bitter. I didn't get to win $1 million this weekend. I thought I was going to. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
I guess we're in the same boat, man. Not a millionaire on this side of the microphone either, so, you know, we did our best. But look, with that many people playing in a contest, there's some dumb luck involved, so you got to get a little bit lucky, and I'm not Irish, so I don't think I'm ever going to be that lucky.
I am Irish, and I'm not lucky, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, man, it's tough. You got to put a great lineup together, and you look at your lineup, you're like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to do pretty well, and it's just... Some players we thought were going to go off didn't do much. Players got hurt. So it was a tough weekend for a lot of people out there playing that $1 million contest.
Was it a tough weekend for me, Ant?
Well,
I feel like my team might make the playoffs again, which is nice. My real team.
Oh, well, that's good news, man. Yeah, the Patriots, man. They came back and looked like the Patriots of old. They came out playing with a vengeance.
But, Bill, you'll be proud of me here. So I'm 5-0 in my league that I have something that's like a real little something at stake in. And it's like, you know, your college buddies, that league where everyone kind of throws in a decent amount of money. Then in the work league here, I started 0-2, but now I'm 3-2 and I'm number one in points scored.
Whoa, 3-game winning streak for Big Kev.
So it's like overall I'm eight and two, I guess. Yeah. I'm eight and two and I'm number one in points in both leagues.
That's fantastic.
Thanks to Bill Enright.
And Anthony Grace.
But more you, because you helped me draft on Skype where Ant was nowhere to be found.
I was missing. I'm sorry.
I got the Eeyore tone.
We didn't want to help everyone have as much success as Kevin Collins. After all, the youth of America does look up to him. Our phone number here is 855-728-7500. Email is webradio@patriots.com. You can always hit us up on Twitter. We're answering Twitter questions around the clock at FFChamps. At the PPR Monster, and I am at Bill Enright. Some exciting games this weekend. You know, heading into the weekend, we kind of looked at the over and unders with one of our writers from FF Champs, Nick Morgan, and we didn't have a lot of games with over 50 projected points, you know, combined points. But what did we get? Eight different games with over 50 points this weekend? That was quite a surprise, according to what the wise guys in Vegas thought.
Yeah, a lot of games over 50. Eight games, like you said. I believe, what did Nick say? We had two that were projected over 50 in Vegas when he was on with us on Thursday. So
I think it was only one. I think it was just the Giants-Falcons game.
Yeah, okay. I think maybe Philly-St. Louis was like 40-something in the high
40s. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, we got a lot of great games, a lot of high-scoring games, which is always the most exciting thing for fantasy football. So I loved it. I love watching the games when teams are just going back and forth putting up points.
And then plus we had two overtime games. And what do we say about overtime? It's extra time for our fantasy players to score more points. And that was indeed the case with the New Orleans Saints running back Kyrie Robinson, who scored on a 24 or 26-yard touchdown to win them the game. I'm sure a lot of people won their survivor pools because of that. And then it also boosted Kyrie Robinson's stats as well.
Definitely. He was, took a little 18-yard scamper into the end zone, ended that for the Saints. You know, everybody who has players playing in overtime loves it, but if you're playing against somebody and a game goes overtime, you get real nervous.
Again, big show, big episode today because, oh boy, the injuries. They came back again in a big way. It was relatively quiet since a couple weeks ago in week two when all those players went down, but week five, it was a headache. It was another incredible day of injuries. I'm shocked that the amount of players on my team. I lost a couple players this weekend, Monte Ball and Rashad Jennings. Those are my running back one and running back two. So that's a hard hit for me. But luckily, there are some good emerging players on the waiver wire this week. The Kansas City Chiefs, so Jamaal Charles and Al Davis both on a bye. So are the New Orleans Saints, and they have a lot of running backs, okay? So you got Kyrie Robinson, Pierre Thomas. They're on a bye as well. Plus, you have the injuries to the running back spots, and I think it's going to be a big week to pick up some running backs on the waiver wire. We'll break it down. Who's going to be good for the short term? Who's going to be good for the long term? And who you can plug and play over the next couple of weeks? We also have some good tight ends, because if you're like me, your tight end has been pretty frustrating this year. So we'll get into that as well. But I do, Anthony, want to go over this DraftKings Millionaire Maker lineup.
Yes, let's get to it.
The person that won goes by the name of, what does he go by the name of? Sam E. Knoll. He's a big Florida Seminoles fan. So he goes by Sam E. Knoll. He scored 235 points, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a lot. Second place scored 228. So Sam E. Knoll's team, when you look at it, it's nothing out of control. It's all players that are well known. It's all players that perform consistently on a weekly basis. It's not like he reached for players like a Brandon Oliver, who had a phenomenal game in week five, but he came in off the bench for Donald Brown once he got hurt. The Jets were typically very good at stopping the run. Brandon Oliver ended up with, I think, the first or second most points for running backs. But that's not, you won't find a Brandon Oliver on his team. He did this with again, well-known fantasy players that contribute each and every week. So it's not like he was out there searching for some guys that were priced at $3,000. That's not what he did. He found guys that were in the $4,000 to $6,000 range for his running backs and wide receivers. He ended up using Peyton Manning, who was the most expensive player all week, but boy, did it pay off. So let's take a look at his team here. Quarterback Peyton Manning scored him 35 points. Peyton was the most, the highest salaried player at DraftKings last week, but he was only started in 5.6% of all teams. That's pretty unusual, do you think?
Yeah, you know, with that high salary, we touched on it a little bit on Thursday, saying you can spend your money better elsewhere. You know, Peyton Manning just put up his best game of the year and looked like Peyton Manning of last year. Four touchdowns, just under 500 yards. So, I mean, if you just spent the $10,000, or was it $9,200, right near that $10,000 mark for Peyton Manning, if you spent it, you got a lot of value out of him with the numbers he put up.
So Peyton was his second leading scorer on his team. His third leading scorer was Arian Foster, 34 points. Foster had 157 rushing yards, he had two catches, and he had two touchdowns. Remember, Foster was banged up in week four, didn't play in week three, looked very limited in week four. But week five against the Cowboys, boy, did he come alive in a really big game, 34 points. And then he did something smart. He used Ben Tate. Ben Tate, banged up in week one, hasn't played since, coming off a bye in week four, came into week five, scored 16 points. Solid. Nothing great, but solid.
Yeah, you don't need to be great everywhere for this. You just got to be solid everywhere. And, I mean, just looking at this lineup, man, his team was solid everywhere, from the quarterback down to the defense. He just put together a great lineup.
Now, here's where I really love what he did at wide receiver. Okay, so keep in mind, he had Peyton Manning. He stacked both Denver Broncos wide receivers. He has Emmanuel Sanders, who had a phenomenal day, 101 receiving yards, 7 catches. Remember, it's a full-point PPR league. Sanders scored him 20 points. And then he had Demaryius Thomas, who had an absolutely insane day, 226 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns, 8 catches. Demaryius was his leading scorer, 45 points. He earned Sam E. Knoll here and helped him win that $1 million. His tight end was Antonio Gates, had a great game against the New York Jets, two touchdowns, 60 yards. His wide receiver flex was Terrence Williams. Another touchdown, 71 yards, only 2 catches, but when you get 70 yards and a touchdown, that'll get you 15 points. And then he had a really good defense, a smart defense, going up against Geno Smith, going up against Mike Vick and the New York Jets. You know where they weren't going to score a lot of points. They actually became the first team to get shut out in 2014. The Chargers scored him 16 points. So again, just to recap here, Demaryius Thomas, his leading scorer was 45 points. Peyton was number two, 35 points. Arian Foster, number three, 34 points. And then Golden Tate, 29 points. So that those were his top four scorers there. But, Anthony, you didn't hear me say, oh, well, he used Andre Williams. Or he, I'm trying to think of some other guys that had breakout games, but you typically wouldn't have used them. Like I used the example of Brandon Oliver before. But he didn't use any of those guys. You can't find anyone on his team that was really like a sleeper. Maybe Ben Tate, but that's a pretty relatively known player at this point.
Yeah, and Ben Tate's one of those guys where, you know, he probably worked his salary around that last running back spot, found someone he liked, knew Ben Tate was coming back. He's going to be a starter. He's going to get his touches. So it's not like he did something extremely crazy, like you said, and put in, Brandon Oliver, who tore it up this weekend, or even Antoine Smith down in Atlanta had a pretty good game, put up
that's another
18
one.
Fantasy points. So there's a lot of guys out there that, if you saw this winning lineup and you're like, why the hell did he put in Brandon Oliver? No one would do that in their right mind, but he put together a good team. There's no one you can say, why did he do that? He was smart, spent his money in a very good way. Congratulations to him, man. He did great, and it worked out well for him. So good job, Sam E. Knoll.
Not one player on his team had less than 15 points. Actually, no less than 15 points. And that was Terrence Williams' flex.
Yeah, even the defense put up a 16, pushed a shutout for San Diego against the New York Jets, which the San Diego Chargers was a great defense to play.
Yep.
14.5%, they had to be one of the top defenses people play this weekend. But you know what? It worked out. I mean, shutout is always great. I mean, like I said, this is great. And you know what? Plus to this, if you didn't win $1 million, because obviously only one guy did, Demaryius Thomas, for all you regular season fantasy players, looks like he's back. A lot of panic going into the bye week for the Broncos, but Demaryius Thomas made himself known. He's going to be back for you guys. So that's a positive take out of this if you didn't win $1 million.
Now, another good news about the didn't win $1 million in week five, they're doing the same contest again in week six.
Doing it again.
So there's a whole other opportunity for people to win $1 million playing fantasy football. All you have to do is go to ffchamps.com/pats. You get in on the action. There's $1 million. This guy won $1 million just, 48 hours ago. Within a 36-hour period, he became a millionaire. You can do the same. We give you the rankings. We give you the article. We'll do a whole segment on our Thursday radio show just for strategy, daily fantasy strategy, or once-a-week fantasy football strategy. But, again, this is just a normal, everyday guy. He's not anything, he's not like some math genius or a Vegas insider. He's just a regular everyday guy that likes playing daily fantasy, and now he won $1 million. So congratulations to him. Again, you can get in on the week six millionaire maker contest by going to ffchamps.com/pats. Okay, I do want to get into the injury report because, again, it's pretty heavy stuff here. We had some well-known players going down with injuries, mostly running backs, but I do want to start off with the QB position. Drew Stanton had a concussion. We all know that Stanton was the backup quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. So with Carson Palmer already deactivated or inactive for week five, Drew Stanton came in, started another game for the Cardinals, started off pretty good, but then he left the game with a concussion. So we saw Logan Thomas enter the game for the Cardinals, and things went really downhill from there. Jake Locker, my least favorite quarterback in the NFL, left Sunday's game with a thumb injury, and, I'm just waiting for everyone to realize that Jake Locker is absolutely fantasy wasteland, fantasy irrelevant, fantasy, a non-factor. But every year, people say, oh, Jake Locker is going to be a sleeper. And I always have him as a bust. And I'm always the one that's right when it comes to Jake Locker.
Yeah, we don't like Jake Locker on this show, that's apparent, and we're not going to start liking him ever. So unless he does something insane, becomes the next Peyton Manning out of nowhere, sorry, Jake Locker, we don't like you.
All right, I'm going to go to the running backs. I'm going to start off with the most severe, and it's two guys dealing with an injury that can keep him out. I'm going to suggest a month, and that's Rashad Jennings of the New York Giants heading into week five. He was third in the NFL in rushing. He is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks with a sprained MCL. That's a big hit. We did see the rookie Andre Williams get into the end zone for the Giants against the Falcons, and he's going to be one of our top pickups this week. Monte Ball of the Denver Broncos is not going to be in action for the next couple of weeks. He is dealing with a groin strain. To be honest, Ball has looked like absolute garbage this year. And now it's going to be a three-headed monster in the Denver Broncos backfield, which I think is going to be more of a headache for fantasy then it is going to be promising. I don't expect Ronnie Hillman to get all the carries. I don't expect C.J. Anderson to get all the carries, and I don't expect Juwan Thompson to be ignored. So I think it's going to be a three-headed approach in the Denver backfield going forward. I'm not rushing out to pick up any of these guys. If one of them falls to me, fine. But I'm not going to go out and go crazy for Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson. I'll tell you why a little bit later when we get into our waiver wire pickups part of the show. Reggie Bush dealing with an ankle injury. Donald Brown suffered a concussion for the San Diego Chargers. And, boy, yeah, those Charger running backs, they just have been dropping like flies this year.
Yeah, you know, if you're Brandon Oliver, you're excited about the opportunity, but you're also probably thinking, I'm probably getting hurt next week. I mean, it's just every single week one of them's going down. You got to have a little bit of hesitation if you're him. But, hey, he came in, he looked great against the Jets defense, like you said. That was the best against the run heading into this week. So he's one of these guys, when you're a new guy and a lot of people haven't seen a lot of tape on you, you seem to have an advantage. Coaches don't really know how to scheme against you. So if Brandon Oliver's on that waiver wire, that's a guy that you should definitely put a claim in for. But, you know, we'll get more into that a little bit later in the show.
Rounding off the running back injuries this week from week five, Zach Stacy dealing with a calf injury. His coaches are calling him day-to-day. And then Fred Jackson of the Buffalo Bills, who the Patriots are playing in week six, by the way, is dealing with a sprained ankle. But he was able to finish the game in week five, so all signs point to him playing again in week six. So, again, running backs. These are all starting running backs in fantasy football. No one's less than a flex here. Mostly running back ones or running back twos. Reggie Bush, ankle injury. Rashad Jennings, out 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month with a sprained knee. Monte Ball, out with a groin injury. Zach Stacy, out with a calf injury. Donald Brown, likely out with a concussion. Fred Jackson, sprained ankle, questionable to play. So again, a lot of running backs there. That's why it's going to be a really big week when it comes to running backs on the waiver wire. And what do you say? Let's move over to wide receivers now. Calvin friggin' Johnson. It turns out he's human after all. He's dealing with the same ankle injury that has left him questionable for the last couple of weeks. Was a decoy in week four, re-injured the ankle in week five. It's not looking good. Jim Caldwell said he's strongly considering holding out Calvin Johnson for a few weeks until this guy gets fully healthy.
Yeah, you know, seeing what happened to Calvin Johnson this week, I kind of thought to myself, this begs the question, if he's not 100% healthy, I understand you want to use him as a decoy, but aren't you hurting yourself in the long run with what just happened to him? I mean, obviously, he could run. He could do a little bit of cutting. He was getting some passes thrown his way. But that look, all it took was one hit. Wasn't dirty or anything. Just got hit right in the wrong spot. And now you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he probably is going to be out for a week, maybe two. He's got to get some rest. I mean, he's one of the best receivers in the game right now. But he's also getting a little bit up there in age. He's not what he was, you know, 3-4 years ago. So he's going to need a little bit of time to heal now.
Remember in the beginning of the year, we said Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas would finish ahead of Calvin Johnson in fantasy points?
It's coming true already.
Yeah, it's and then everyone kind of like made fun of us and ripped us apart on Twitter. Well, it's happening, folks.
Tweet us again.
Yeah. You know, Calvin Johnson is a player. We know what he can do. But there have been situations in over the last couple of years where these ankle injuries creep up, just like Andre Johnson dealt with a little bit a couple of years ago. Or someone like Brandon Marshall's dealing with now, too. You know, he's another one dealing with that ankle injury. Marshall used to be a 10-plus catch guy every single game, and I don't think he has 10 catches over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah,
so these ankle injuries for some of these older receivers, it's better that we actually hope they sit out because then they get healthy. But when they try to play and when they get shot up with whatever, you know, latest medical things that these players are getting shot up with, it doesn't really fully get them back to 100%. And I'd rather a player miss 1 or 2 weeks than deal with him at 50% for you know, 3 or 4 weeks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like you said, Calvin Johnson, you know, people ask us, do you play him? Well, if he's in the game, you can't not play him.
Exactly. But that's the problem.
Yeah, and when they're using him as a decoy, it hurts you so much more because you could take him out and not get 6 or 7 points maybe out of him, and you have someone with more upside on your bench. So it's one of those things where if a coach says he's playing, you know, he kind of hurts us fantasy owners as well.
Some other injuries to the wide receivers. Danny Amendola has a head injury. He left the game briefly. He was being evaluated for a possible concussion, but he was cleared to return. Malcolm Floyd, is dealing with a calf injury for the San Diego Chargers. I'm not a real big Malcolm Floyd fan. I'm not a real big Eddie Royal fan either. So those, you know, Chargers tight ends, the Chargers wide receivers, I'm not really concerned unless it's Keenan Allen. So that's not a really big fantasy impact player there. Tight end, though, big-time fantasy impact. Luckily, they're on a bye this week. Jimmy Graham dealing with a shoulder injury. Like I said, the Saints are on a bye in Week 6, but if you started Jimmy Graham this weekend, you probably only got you 4 or 5 points because he was out pretty early, and he never was even close to coming back into the game.
Yeah, he tried to get back in there, and he just couldn't get through. But that's a positive sign that he did try to get back out there, tried to play through it. Like you said, they got this bye week. He's got 2 weeks to get healthy. Positive sign, you know, coming back in 2 weeks. Hopefully Jimmy Graham will be there. Shoulder injury, which is obviously better for someone like Jimmy Graham than having something in his legs, a knee or an ankle situation. So Jimmy Graham, I would think, would play after the bye week. But, you know, we'll monitor it, see where he's at next week, and we'll have to go from there.
All right, we are going to get into our waiver wire segment a little bit later in the show. For now, we're going to take your phone calls at 855-728-7500. Don't forget, email us, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to start off the show with Josh in Virginia. He's in the 10-team standard league. Hey, Josh.
What's happening, guys?
How's it going?
Taking a beating in this one fantasy league, man. My running backs were, you know, like Adrian Peterson, no Sean Moreno, and Moneyball, and of course, you can see how that's all gone for me, but I really want to drop Donald Brown, and I want to know who you guys would pick up out of these players, out of Brandon Oliver, Fred Jackson, or Hillman from the Broncos.
Are you in a PPR league?
No PPR, just standard.
All right, well, then I'm leaving out Hillman. It's between Fred Jackson and Brandon Oliver to me. I think Fred Jackson could be a little bit more consistent. Remember, Ryan Matthews is coming back in a few weeks. Donald Brown has a concussion. This is not going to sound politically correct to say, but concussions players heal from a little bit quicker than a sprained knee. Obviously, the long-term effects, I'm not getting into that whole debate right now, but it's not like Donald Brown's going to be out for a month. He may be out a week, okay? We expect him back maybe in week 7. And the Chargers have a really, really good upcoming running back schedule. So I like Brandon Oliver a lot. But with Ryan Matthews coming back, with Donald Brown coming back, I just feel like Fred Jackson can give you a little bit more consistency. Nick, Anthony, where do you chime in here?
Yeah, Fred Jackson, his schedule looks a little bit nicer. Again, Brandon Oliver is one of those things. He had a great game this week, but we don't know what we're going to get going forward from him. So I would feel more comfortable with someone like Fred Jackson, someone we know what we can expect from, who's been doing consistently for the last how many years now. So Fred Jackson, if he's on your waiver, he's the first guy I'm looking for at the running back position over those other couple guys you mentioned.
Right on. Sounds on point, fellas. Thank you.
All right, Josh,
man.
You got it, buddy.
Good luck.
Matt in Columbia is up next. He's in the 12-team half-point PPR league. Hey, Matt.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Total bien, instead.
Good. What's going on, guys? It's been a while since I've called in. I've been super busy, but I do have a straight question for you guys. Now I've got a question on the waiver wire.
All right, shoot him off.
So my tight end situation is a little suspect. Got Kobe Fleener right now. My buddy needs a running back. I'm looking to shop for Kelce. I'm looking to get Spiller, offload Spiller for Kelce. Do you think it's a good idea?
I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding him here. Matt, make sure that your radio is turned down in the background. All I heard is Kelce for Spiller. Is that correct?
Yeah. Kelce for Spiller. I'd be getting rid of Spiller and getting Kelce because I have Wiener right now, and he's my only tight end.
Getting rid of Spiller and giving up Kelce. How are you okay with running backs? Like, do you have enough running backs?
I've got Vereen, and I've got Hill.
That's it?
I also have Matt Forte. Those are my four running backs I have. The bench is really, really thin. We're only allowed 5 spots.
Oh. Kelce for Spiller. What do you think, Ant? I mean, Spiller hasn't really been doing a whole lot.
Yeah, Spiller has not done much. I mean, if you're that hard up for a tight end and there's not much floating around, I mean, Travis Kelce at least is a consistent guy as far as receptions and yardages go. And he's, like we've been saying the past couple of weeks, he's that best pass-catching option in Kansas City outside of their running backs. So with Spiller not doing a whole lot, I would have no problem getting Travis Kelce. You're solidifying another position.
I mean, he only has – it's very tough for him because he only has a small amount of running – or roster space. I think we just lost him, so I can't even ask this question. I was going to say, you know, who's available at tight end? Is someone better than maybe Colby Fleener just available at waiver wire instead of giving up Spiller just to get Kelsey? Because he's not going to – he's not – since he had such a – I feel bad that his call just dropped, but since he had such a small roster, you know, a small bench, he's not going to keep Fleener. He's probably going to end up dropping Fleener. So right. If he would have just added another tight end off the waiver wire, he could have kept Spiller. And I guess it's a lost point now because he's not on the phone anymore. Nick in Boston is in a 12-team standard league. What's up, Nick?
How's it going, guys? How was your weekend?
Pretty good. How was yours?
Well, you know, I didn't become a millionaire, obviously, as you guys were saying earlier, but, you know, it was exciting. It was a good time. So,
what can we help you with today?
I've got two waiver wire questions for you guys. So my tight ends right now are Antonio Gates and Witten. And Gates hasn't had his bye yet, and Witten is just horrible. And there are some really good tight ends on my wire, I think, right now. So I was thinking of dropping Witten for either Dwayne Allen or Zach Ertz. What do you guys think about that?
All right, so dropping Jason Witten to pick up Dwayne Allen or Zach Ertz. You know, Dwayne Allen was one of my favorite pickups after week one because I loved what I saw from him as a rookie. He obviously got injured last year, came back strong in the first game this year, and then he kind of had a really bad game, and then everyone kind of dumped him right away. Remember we were suggesting to pick up Dwayne Allen, and then he had that really bad game in week two, and then everyone stayed away from him. I think he had zero targets in that game, actually.
And then
everyone stayed away from him. But you know what? The guy has gotten into the end zone in three straight games. He catches at least four passes a game, and he averages around 45 yards. So, to me, he is a guy on a great offense. He's got a really good upcoming schedule with the Houston Texans on Thursday night, the Bengals. We saw the Bengals get ripped by the Patriots tight ends on Sunday night football. And then he got a game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in week eight. So I'm picking up Dwayne Allen across the board, and he's going to be on our waiver wire segment. He's one of those players that I'm going after too because Zach Ertz is just maddening to me, and he's driving me crazy. The entire Eagles offense is just driving me crazy right now, and Zach Ertz is, of course, one of those components on that offense. So, Nick, if I'm you, I'm going for Dwayne Allen, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Dwayne Allen,
great.
Definitely.
Yeah, that sounds good. And
Nick,
then
sound good?
My other question was, I'm
Alrighty,
thinking of...
I think we lost Nick. Matt in Columbia is back on the line. We can try to see if we can get a little bit of a better understanding of... Matt, we were trying to figure out who is available at tight end for you.
So here's what I got, and here's the whole situation. There's a couple people on the waiver wire that I was looking at. If I was going to give up Spiller, Tillman is available, so I was looking to pick him up maybe for a couple weeks and get him while Monte Ball's out. And then for tight ends on the waiver wire, Owen Daniels is still available, and then the Patriots tight end Wright is available. And with him now being a part of that offense, you know, maybe there are big things in his future. I'm not really sure, though. What are your...
Yeah, so Tim Wright or... Who was the other one? Who was the other one that you said? Tim Wright or who?
Owen Daniels.
I mean, Owen Daniels is a big part of that Ravens offense. We know Gary Kubiak likes to feature the tight end. I have him as my number nine tight end this week. He caught five passes for 70 yards this past weekend off seven targets.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Matt, I'm going to hang on to Spiller and pick up Owen Daniels. I feel like you have more value that way. I mean, Hillman... obviously, he's going to get touches without Ball, but like we said earlier, I mean, they like Juwan Thompson there. They basically said that after the game. He's going to get his touches. C.J. Anderson's going to get touches. And Ball should be back after their bye in the next, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And the next three games for the Denver Broncos, they have
tough
matchups
really
coming
tough.
Up. They got the Jets. They got the 49ers. They got tough matchups against running backs. So I'm hanging on to C.J. Spiller. I'm going to pick up Owen Daniels.
Yeah, I'm doing that too.
Did I even consider Wright?
Listen, Wright's not a bad option, but listen.
Like, should I drop someone like Sanu? I have Sanu, and I know that I forgot the wide receiver, but he's coming back from injury soon. I mean, is it worth picking up Wright and dropping Sanu as a potential, you know, flyer?
I don't think so. I would hold on to Mohamed Sanu. Here's the problem with Tim Wright, and I know his stats looked great this past weekend, but he was only involved in, like, 18 plays, I think. Like 18 out of the Patriots,
45 or 50 plays. Like, he wasn't really on the field a lot. Like, okay, so he had five catches for, what, 80 yards? Catches for 85 yards and a touchdown, which is great. It's phenomenal. But he was barely on the field. So unless he gets into that touchdown, unless he breaks one off for, you know, 50 or 60 yards like he did against the Bengals, it's just not enough workload for me. And in the Patriots offense with a guy like Tom Brady, who you know spreads it around to Gronk and Edelman and Vereen, and the running game was going well, I don't know if I'd rather have an Owen Daniels where it's Torrey Smith, it's Steve Smith, and it's Owen Daniels, and that's it.
Yeah, and Owen Daniels is going to get more looks than Torrey Smith from what it seems like this year, too. So, I mean, he's really probably that number two guy that Joe Flacco's looking for. I mean, with Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman on the field, it's tough for Tim Brady to get catches. Yeah, he had a great game, but three games before this put together, four catches for 35 yards. I mean, he had a breakout game, but until he does it consistently, you can't waste a roster spot on him, especially when your bench is that shallow in a league, when you only got four or five spots you can use.
And again, if I saw him on the field a little bit more, and which we'll see. I mean, this was really the first game the Patriots used that two tight end set a lot. So maybe they'll use it more in week six, and maybe if we see it as an increased trend, then we'll suggest to pick up Tim Wright a little bit more heavily. Obviously, if you're in a 14-team league or a 12-team league and you're really desperate for a tight end, maybe you've been dealing with the Niles Paul, Jordan Reed situation, maybe you have Vernon Davis who hasn't been playing. Yes, a Tim Wright-like player can be a good pickup. But, Matt, I think you're in a little bit different situation than that.
Yeah, I'm in third place right now, sitting 4-1, and I just want to kind of keep the ball rolling.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
That works, though. That's what I'm going to do. I'll keep Spiller, and I'll pick up Owen Daniels and not do the trade. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, best of luck to you.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah, Tim Wright only played on 22% of the Patriots snaps. And he was on the 19 plays on the field, so I guess he got some special teams action. Listen, he got the ball on 5 out of 19 plays, which is great. But that's the flip side of that, he was only on the field for 19 plays.
Yeah, that's not enough production. I mean, like you said, yeah, it's great he caught 5 passes in 19 attempts being on the field, but, you know, if he's on the field for 19 attempts next week, who's to say he gets more than 2 or 3 balls thrown his way? You just never know with someone who's not consistent enough. I mean, Owen Daniels, he's getting 5, 6, 7 targets a game outside of one game this year, and he's catching virtually everything thrown at him. So, Owen Daniels in a PPR league, I definitely like him a lot more than Tim Wright.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, but coming back with our full Week 6 waiver wire report, and then, of course, we'll be jumping into your phone calls and emails. That's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
Go. Yes, the waiver wire. I'm telling you, it is one of the most important factors of winning a fantasy football championship. You have to do the work each and every week by doing research on who's available in your league, who's being dropped. And we really try to help you do that here on the Fantasy Football Champs. Again, a lot of injuries to running backs. Chiefs and the Saints are on byes, so I know a lot of you out there are using Jamal Charles and Pierre Thomas or Kerry Robinson, even maybe Niall Davis. So between the Chiefs and the Saints on the bye and then all the running back injuries, it's going to be a very, very hectic week for the waiver wire running back position. Luckily, we're here to help you and make you help you make all those tough decisions. So give us a call, 855-728-7500. Also email us webradio@patriots.com. And if you're listening to us via the Patriot mobile app or on iTunes, you can always hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps, at the PPR Monster. I am at Bill Enright. Anthony, what do you say we start off with quarterbacks, which is a very interesting position because quarterbacks stay healthy. Okay, no one out there, I don't think, was using Alex Smith as their quarterback one, but maybe people are certainly using Drew Brees. So with Drew Brees on a bye, maybe you're looking to buy to pick up one of these quarterbacks. All these guys played well in the last couple of weeks. Brian Hoyer of the Cleveland Browns,
certainly leading them to a comeback victory over the Tennessee Titans. Looked good doing so. How about Austin Davis? Had a really good game, 375 yards and three touchdowns. And then Teddy Bridgewater, who we saw 2 weeks ago against the Falcons, have a very impressive game in his starting rookie debut. And then he skipped the Thursday night game, so now we know he should be healthy as the Vikings take on the Detroit Lions this weekend. So of those three quarterbacks, Ant, who do you like the best?
You know, this week I actually played Austin Davis over Tony Romo and Kirk Cousins, and he put me over the top in that league and gave me the W. So
now that's a ballsy move.
I had to do something. I was 1-3. I had to shake it up a little bit, so I played Austin Davis over Romo and Clay Harbor over Zach Ertz, which, you know, what it's Zach Ertz, like you said a little bit earlier, just kind of a little bit of a disappointment, that whole Eagles offense. I mean, they're putting up a lot of points, but half of them are coming from the defense and special teams, so they got to get back on track. But Austin Davis, I think he's been playing solid when he started, we became the starter, 300 yards in back-to-back games, six touchdowns in those two games, threw two picks a couple weeks ago, but for the most part, he takes care of the football. He's going to throw the ball a lot. If Zach Stacy's out, they're going to have to throw the ball, so Austin Davis would be the guy I would go to out of these couple guys we have listed.
I have Brian Quick as a top 20 wide receiver for the rest of the way.
He has to be. That guy is on fire, especially in a PPR league. Brian Quick is looking great this year. And Austin Davis and him just seem to have a really nice connection. So it's going to be tough to knock them off as far as fantasy points go. The Rams as a team aren't great, but that's great for fantasy. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot to make comebacks, and that's what you want. You want points, and they're going to put up points for you.
All right, now here is the most important discussion of the day. Running backs to pick up this week, in no particular order. I'm just going to run through them, and then you and I can kind of give the analysis, give the breakdown. All right, we know Rashad Jennings is out for 2 to 3 weeks of the Giants. Andre Williams, the rookie, he's going to get the full workload in Big Blue's backfield. Donald Brown, Ryan Matthews, Danny Woodhead all out for the Chargers. Brandon Oliver, big game against the Jets, was one of the top one or two running backs in week five. Look for him to have another good game against the Oakland Raiders in week six. He's one of our top pickups this week. The entire Denver Broncos backfield. It's not just Ronnie Hillman. It's Jawan Thompson, it's CJ Anderson, and it's Ronnie Hillman. All three of those guys should be either examined, investigated, researched, looked at as a possible pickup of the week. But I do think Andre Williams and Brandon Oliver are a little bit higher in the pecking order because I think they offer a little bit more stability, a little bit more consistency, and should get the ball a little bit more compared to all three of those Broncos running backs. And what do you think?
Yeah, Andre Williams has to be the first guy, if he's still sitting on your waiver wire, that you need to pick up. This guy looked good in relief for Rashad Jennings last week. 2 weeks ago when they were playing down in Washington, he came in, giving Jennings a little bit of a breather since Jennings had a lot of carries the week before, got in the end zone. I think he put up like 80 rushing yards for that game. I mean, Andre Williams, he looked great in college, one of these guys who was going to come into the league, and when he got his shot, you thought he was going to do good things, and it looks like he's going to be doing good things with his opportunity. So he's the first guy I'm picking up off this list. I like Andre Williams a lot this year for Rashad Jennings.
Now, that being said, I loved what I saw from Brandon Oliver, mostly because it was a tough matchup.
Yes.
The Jets are typically very good, or are typically very good this year, when it comes to stopping the run. So to see what Oliver did against the Jets, that was really impressive to me. He's certainly involved in the passing attack, which is what Danny Woodhead was supposed to be doing before he went out with an injury. So we know the Chargers are going to use Oliver even when Matthews gets back, even when Donald Brown gets back. Oliver will probably take on that Danny Woodhead passing down role, which is fine if you're in a PPR league. But I do think once Matthews and Donald Brown are back, they're going to be used a lot on first and second down, near the goal line. But again, PPR league, hey, Danny Woodhead was a top 12 running back last year. So we could see something special in Brandon Oliver, a rookie out of Buffalo. But at the same time, Andre Williams is going to be the featured part of that rushing attack, at least for the next month of the season.
Yeah, when those guys come back for San Diego, it's going to be a little bit of a muddy situation, that backfield. But look, Brandon Oliver put up the only two touchdowns that the Jets have given up to opposing running backs this year last week.
There you go.
So, yeah, he did something special. And he, like you said, he's going to be that guy. He's going to catch passes out of the backfield. Third down, long downs, they're going to put him in. Phillip Rivers is going to get some passes thrown his way. So I do like Brandon Oliver. He's going to be a good pickup for this week. And, you know, if he does show something this week that he can take carries, he can be a guy that can be counted on, then maybe he is the number two guy behind Ryan Matthews, even when Donald Brown does get healthy. So if you have the opportunity, you have a bench spot to pick up Brandon Oliver and Andre Williams isn't there, I would definitely grab him and stash him for now.
Now, when it comes to the Broncos, guys, I'll be the first one to admit it. I was all over Monte Ball this summer. I thought it was going to be a top five back, a top six back. No Peyton Manning running back has ever finished outside the top eight in fantasy football. That includes Noshon Moreno last year. That includes Joe Adai from the Colts. That includes Edgerrin James. Who was the guy that came in for Edgerrin James that one year when he got Dominic Rhodes?
Dominic Rhodes, yeah.
Right? That's who it was, I think. Yeah. All of these guys that went on to be – Edgerrin James is really the only one that was, you know, consistently good even without Peyton Manning. The point I'm trying to make is no running back, any running back that has been running behind Peyton Manning always finishes in the top 10. So to see Monte Ball struggle the way he did was not only a shock, but really kick to the groin, because you expected him to have really good stats every week. He just wasn't getting it done. And the next couple of weeks, his schedule is brutal. Jets, 49ers, Chargers, but then it opens it up in a really big way in week 9, and I hate to say it, but against the Patriots, then the Raiders, then the Rams, then the Dolphins, and the Chiefs. Hopefully by that time, Monte Ball is back in action. That being said, it's no longer just a one-man show. Monte Ball wasn't doing well in terms of putting up decent stats, and he was the only one getting the football. Now it's going to be Hillman. Now it's going to be Thompson. Now it's going to be Anderson. All three of those guys on a rotation. You have to realize the situation here. And sometimes you don't want to hear it, but there's no way to predict who's going to get the ball on the goal line. There's no way to predict how many times Ronnie Hillman's going to try to get it inside the 10-yard line compared to C.J. Anderson or compared to Thompson. So it's going to be a rotation. It's going to be a headache. It's going to be ugly. Don't be surprised if Hillman has a big week in week 6. Anderson has a big week in week 7. Thompson has a big week in week 8. It's going to be a rotation. It's going to be a headache. That's why I'm not all over these Broncos running backs right now.
Yeah, the headache, the three-headed monster they're going to try to create. There's stuff they like out of each of these running backs, certain elements. So, personally, unless I'm really, really hard up for a running back this week, or, you know, got a lot of buys coming in the next week or two, I'm not touching any of these Denver running backs. You just ran through those next 3 weeks with the Chargers, the Jets, and the 49ers. They got three tough matchups, and by the time they get through those, I think Monte Ball comes back. Once he comes back, he's still going to be the guy. He's going to be the main featured guy. They're not going to be rotating like they are without him. So I'm avoiding Denver Broncos running backs unless Monte Ball's injury looks like it might linger. Then if someone gets a hot hand, I'll take a chance on him. But right now, I you just can't trust any of them. You just never know, so it's not worth it.
Some other running backs to look at. Antoine Smith of the Atlanta Falcons. This guy breaks off a big play, seeming like every single week.
Yeah,
the consistency is not there. He doesn't get a touch. He doesn't get a ton of carries. You know, he only has 11 carries all year, but the guy has 4 touchdowns. He's doing it in the passing game. He's doing it in the rushing attack. I mean, but he is busting out some big runs. He's speedy, and he's leading the Falcons right now. The Falcons running backs and fantasy points, which is insane.
Yeah, that Falcons running back situation is another one that's just real unclear. We don't know what we're getting. Everybody's getting touches. I mean, Devonta Freeman kind of showed up this weekend. Steven Jackson had his week a few weeks ago against Tampa Bay, but no one really stands out. No one's just grabbing hold of that number one spot and saying it's mine. Antoine Smith, I like him the most out of that backfield because, like you said, he finds a way to score. He can catch the ball. He's got speed. He's getting in the end zone virtually every week. I mean, he's got 4 weeks out of five with at least 9 fantasy points, and you know, no one else on that Falcons in that Falcons backfield can say the same thing. So, Antoine Smith is one of those guys. If you can grab him, keep him on your bench. Same thing. If you're hard up, you need someone to get in that running back two spot, maybe a flex spot for the next couple of weeks. Antoine Smith is someone to definitely keep an eye on, especially in PPR leagues.
We mentioned Zach Stacy's dealing with a calf injury. Benning Cunningham did have a pretty decent day against the Eagles with Stacy on the bench being injured. If that happens again, and the 49ers play the Rams in right week six Monday Night Football this week. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So if Zach Stacy can't go, Benning Cunningham would be the starting running back for the Rams. Some other deeper league guys that you want to keep an eye on. George Wynn of the Detroit Lions. Listen, Joique Bell's banged up with a concussion. Reggie Bush dealing with an ankle injury. George Wynn is really the only healthy Lions running back right now, but I'm not putting a whole lot of faith into him. Storm Johnson is getting some praise from the Jaguars coaches, but again, I'm staying away from anyone from Jacksonville. And then Travaris Cadet for the New Orleans Saints. He had a good touchdown, receiving touchdown, against the Bucks in week five, but the Saints are on a bye this week, so you need to be in a pretty deep league to be going after Cadet. Any of those running backs you want to give a quick little breakdown on it?
All I'm going to say about Storm Johnson is at least he's not Toby Gerhardt, so if you pick him up, I'm not gonna fault you. But Benny Cunningham, he's one of those guys, like you said, no Zach Stacy. He's going to get his touches. He's one of those guys who can get hot. He's shown flashes that he can play last year and this year in the preseason. So Benny Cunningham, not a bad pickup if you're a Zach Stacy owner.
Wide receivers now. Travis Benjamin has the hot hand for the Cleveland Browns. Scored 2 touchdowns in week 5. How about Odell Beckham Jr., the rookie for the New York Giants? Missed all of minicamp, missed all of training camp, missed the first month of the season with 1 hamstring injury. But in his NFL debut, he had 5 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Brian Hartline of the Miami Dolphins, a lot of people overlook him. Remember, he was coming off a bye, so you may have seen one of your opponents drop Brian Hartline. Go out and pick him up if that's the case. A couple other players, Allen Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu of the Cincinnati Bengals, both of those wide receivers. Whoever's going to be playing opposite A.J. Green, it's going to get some single coverage, which we saw with the Patriots, right? So Darrelle Revis was getting some help on a couple A.J. Green pass plays. He, for the most part, he was doing it by himself, but a lot of double coverage typically when you talk about A.J. Green. And then that leaves Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones open. So I would be keeping an eye on both of those guys.
Yeah, if Darrelle Revis needs help every once in a while in A.J. Green, just imagine anybody else who's trying to cover A.J. Green. So Sanu and Marvin Jones should both be on radars. And Odell Beckham Jr., he's a guy this past week I was telling people to pick up if they can, stash him. Looked like he was coming back. Like you said, came back, caught 5 targets, 44 yards, a touchdown. This Giants offense is starting to click. It's starting to look like what it was supposed to. And Odell Beckham Jr. just adds another element. He's one of those guys. Him and Victor Cruz, they're possession guys. They can catch the ball. They got good hands. They got speed. You got Reuben Randle, a tall guy. I mean, this Giants offense is going to start looking very, very dangerous, I think, for the rest of this year.
That's why I like Andre Williams. He's not going to catch a whole lot of passes out of the backfield, but they'll run him inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
They'll run it 3 times in a row with him.
Yeah,
Andre Williams.
Andre Williams is, like I said, he's another guy that I absolutely love. I'm a Rashad Jennings owner. Sadly enough, Andre Williams got snatched up in my draft right before me. I've been trying to trade for him all season. No dice, and, you know, the guy who owns him, I don't blame him because I wouldn't give him up either. I mean, 60-plus rushing yards in the last 2 games, a touchdown in each of those games. So Andre Williams is definitely going to get his touches for the rest of the time that Jennings is sitting on the bench.
All right, let's move over to tight ends now. Got a couple here. I'm going to start off with Dwayne Allen. And I said it in week 1 after he had a big game. Dwayne Allen is going to finish the year as a top 10 tight end. And then he came out in week 2. And we all – was that the game against the Eagles?
Yeah, that was the Monday nighter with
– So everyone watched it. Everyone saw him only get 1 target, no catches. All right, it was on national television. Everyone went out and dropped him, which was dumb because the guy has scored 3 straight touchdowns. And he hasn't had a game with less than 40 yards or 38 yards.
He scored a touchdown in every single game outside of that Monday nighter against Philadelphia. If you're playing in a PPR league, he's put up double-digit points in every game outside of that Philadelphia game. He's a great guy to pick up. If he's still sitting on your waiver wire, I mean, I don't know why he would be, but if he is, you have to pick him up.
Jared Cook of the St. Louis Rams has at least four catches for 40 yards in every game of the season. Has yet to score a touchdown, but he's staying pretty active in that Rams passing attack. Tim Wright, we all saw it with the New England Patriots on Sunday night, very active on the plays that he was in the game, 5 for 5, 85 yards and a touchdown. But again, of those five plays or of those five catches, he was only on the field for 19 snaps, 19 offensive plays.
That's going to scare you. Yeah, it's going to scare you a little bit. He's not on the field enough. So once he starts seeing more consistent snaps on the field, definitely a guy you want to keep your eye on. But right now, unless you got a really deep bench, I can't see picking Tim Wright up today.
I don't think you need to panic if you have Jimmy Graham. The team's on a bye, so you weren't going to use him this week anyway. But, you know, maybe you want to keep an eye on, like, a Jordan Reed, who has been out since week one. I bet he was dropped in you know, majority of leagues out there. Once he's back, I think he's going to be a big part of that offense. And also Charles Clay. He was dealing with a pretty significant knee injury. He was playing through the pain, just got off a bye week. So Charles Clay is coming back into action. I think he could reestablish himself as a top 12 tight end going forward. I know we have a couple emails to get to. I do want to give out the phone number, 855-728-7500. That's our waiver wire segment. If you want to go check out the full article, it's ffchamps.com. We have defenses and kickers, which we're not going to get into on the show because we don't want to take up too much time covering defenses and kickers, because we do have a ton of emails to get to. I think we should get to just like a handful of emails now, then take a quick break, and then come back and finish the show strong.
All right, let's do that.
You're going to have to give me the email, because I don't know who was up first.
All right, man, I got one pulled up right here. The first one I got is from The Jackal. Three quick questions, all non-PPR scoring. Is it time to drop Spiller and go with Fred Jackson?
I need some context to that question. Is he literally dropping C.J. Spiller and picking up Fred Jackson, or does he have both of them on their team and, you know, he needs to decide which one to start each week?
That's all it says. Time to drop C.J. Spiller and go with Fred Jackson. I'm not dropping C.J. Spiller.
No.
If the question is, would you play Fred Jackson over C.J. Spiller?
Right.
I can't fault you for that. I mean, C.J. Spiller is just not pulling his weight in that backfield. Fred Jackson is more consistent no matter what. And every year I just think, look, Fred Jackson's got to take a step back. He's 34 now. He keeps doing it. So Fred Jackson, yeah, I like him over C.J. Spiller right now in that Buffalo backfield.
Yeah, him and Frank Gore have certainly defied the time gods.
Yes.
or the age gods, whatever.
Good for him, Fred Jackson. Live it up while you can, my friend.
Yeah.
Question number two. Pick up Brandon Oliver, Andre Williams, and drop Nile Davis.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to make that move. Assuming that he has Jamal Charles, I'll want Nile Davis on my team. Even if he doesn't have Charles, I think Nile Davis can be a top 25 running back, even when Charles is healthy. I'd have to know more about his team, but I'm not dropping either one of those guys. Just because Nile Davis is on a bye this week, I'm not giving the Charles owner, even if he doesn't have Charles, I'm not giving the Charles owner the opportunity to get the handcuff. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the only way I'm dropping Nile Davis is two situations. One, you need a running back this week, and you have to pick one of these guys up, as well as you're the top of the waiver wire, and you know you can grab him back
there
next
week.
If you can't do that, I'm not doing it. I mean, Nile Davis, it seems like, is a more of a favorite to Andy Reid than Jamal Charles. So, I mean, he got 32 carries a few weeks ago, Nile Davis did, and Jamal Charles hasn't seen more than 22 with Andy Reid as a head coach in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, and Nile Davis is getting his touches, so, you know, good for him. That's all there is to it. Let's move on to the next email. All right, this is for our buddy Higgins in Seattle. Says, hey guys, another week I lost thanks to Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush, and Nick Foles. Seriously, I'm in a standard league, and I can only have four running backs. All right, so four running backs on his roster at a time. Should I drop any of these players? Reggie Bush, Shane Vereen, or I'm assuming that's Ben Tate, for Brandon Oliver or Andre Williams, or stash away Noshawn Moreno, who's also on waivers?
Jeez. I don't know.
Yeah, Ben Tate looked good coming back. I'm not dropping him. Reggie Bush, I can't drop him yet just because Joik Bell, you know, with the concussion, you never know how easy someone is concussion prone once they get that concussion going, so I'm not dropping him. In a standard league, Shane Vereen, I don't know. He's the question mark in my book right now.
If I'm going to drop anyone, it's going to be Shane Vereen for Andre Williams, only because it's standard and it's not PPR.
Exactly.
I know Vereen had a big day running the football, averaging over, what, 10 yards per carry?
Yeah.
That rarely happens. I don't see the Patriots using Vereen and Ridley like workhorse running backs like they did against the Bengals quite often this year. I think it's more of Spiller out of the backfield instead of Spiller in between. Vereen out of the backfield instead of Vereen in between the tackles. So if I'm going to drop, I don't think you need to, but if I'm going to drop anybody, it's going to be Andre Williams. It's going to be Vereen for Andre Williams.
Yeah, I like that Andre Williams pickup, especially if it's, like I said, someone you need this week or someone you're going to need in the next 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to get all the work in that backfield. That's all. I mean, I got Peyton Hillis behind him. He doesn't scare me away if I'm trying to pick up Andre Williams.
Right.
All right, next up we got Jack across the pond over in London. Says, hey guys, love the show. Chris Ivory or Mohamed Sanu at my flex spot? Start him, sit him question on Tuesday, but we'll go ahead and answer. Do you like Chris Ivory or Mohamed Sanu this week, Bill?
Is it a PPR?
He does not specify.
Well, I can't answer that question.
We can't answer that.
I like Chris Ivory. I'm probably going to go with him either way against the Broncos because I think the Jets have no other option on offense.
Yeah, they don't.
But, I mean, if it was a full-point PPR, it'd be a little bit closer, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Jack has a question. Do you think I should try and trade Michael Crabtree?
Sure.
I guess it all depends what you can get for him, but that is not a bad, idea. He's not looking like the Michael Crabtree we were hoping he would look like this year. So if someone's willing to give up something you really need, go ahead and trade him. I wouldn't trade him with any hesitation.
A lot of people think that Vernon Davis, when he is injured and not healthy and he's not playing, Michael Crabtree's targets go up. It's the exact opposite of that. In week 2 and 3, Vernon Davis was fully healthy. Crabtree got 9 targets. Crabtree got 11 targets, 7 catches, 10 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown in each of those games. Then Vernon Davis pops up on the injury report in week 4, and he gets 8 targets. Crabtree catches 5 of them for 43 yards, no touchdown. Week 5, Davis inactive. 4 targets, 1 catch, 16 yards. So for whoever's spreading the rumor or the false facts that Michael Crabtree plays better when Vernon Davis is not on the field because it's going to mean more targets and Kaepernick's going to look his way, that's not how it works. Davis opens up the field for Michael Crabtree, not Vernon Davis not on the field, so Michael Crabtree's going to get all the targets. That's not the way the 49ers roll. Davis is a mismatch for nearly every linebacker in the league. Probably the only linebacker that Vernon Davis isn't a mismatch for plays on his own team, Patrick Willis. Might be the only one.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, it's everything you said, I agree with. I mean, it's all great points, and it's the way it is out in San Francisco.
All right, Anthony, what do you say we take a quick break? We're going to get more back into more of your waiver wire questions for week 6. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Millionaire Maker contest over at DraftKings and try to help everyone win another $1 million in week 6. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs right here on Patriots.com Radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt. Before she drove to New York. And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. Bill Enright, Anthony Grace, Kevin Collins hanging out with you. I want to give a quick shout out to Kevin here because anyone that calls into the show, by the way, the number is 855-728-7500. Kevin answers the phone. Takes a couple questions, asks them who they are, where they're from, puts them into the call screener. I had no idea we had three people waiting on the line. I have four or five people now are waiting on the line. I was just going to go into like some kind of BS segment to kill some time. But Kevin alerted me that we had people waiting on the phone line. So, Kevin, once again, tremendous job. You know, people, what is it? The youth of America look up to you, and that's one of the main reasons why. You're always on staying on top of things, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
Can't do this without you, man. We can't.
Let's go to Todd in Jacksonville, 10-team PPR league. Hey, Todd. Hey, Todd.
I'm still online there. I appreciate that, man. What? Anyway, a waiver question for you. I've got my running back. I've got Le'Veon, Monty Ball, Joik, Bell, Carey, and Darren Sproles. So obviously, I'm hurting a little bit right now.
Oh, that
was just brutal. He's going to have to call back. I don't know what's going on with the phone lines today, but I think that one, I don't know if it's a cell phone issue, if it's a landline. If you're not calling from a landline, I think cell phones have a little bit of a problem with the call screener. We'll try to get Todd in Jacksonville back, 855-728-7500. But just try to make sure that you have your radios turned on, turned down, or your computers, whatever it is, turned down before you give us a call. Let's go to DJ in Miami. Hey, DJ.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well, man.
So I had a few tough questions. I started off good 2-0, and I've had 3 losses in a row.
That's tough.
And trying to rebound. First of all, how do you guys feel about Keenan Allen going forward? I have some good, quality guys that I could plug in for him. Like, I have Mohamed Sanu's been on my bench and outscored Keenan Allen almost every week.
I like Keenan Allen, especially in a PPR league.
It's a non-PPR, though.
So I don't think Mohamed Sanu will do anything better for you.
Okay. And so I should stick with Allen, then.
I would.
Okay. And my second question is, I got, with Monty Ball out and Adrian Peterson gone, I'm stuck with Doug Martin and either Jonathan Stewart or CJ Noke.
Well, you can drop Jonathan Stewart. He's not going to help you out anytime soon. Especially if you have, you can drop Adrian Peterson too. I mean, I don't think he's playing again this year.
Okay.
Who's available on your waiver wire that you can replace them with?
Basically everyone except all the guys who performed this week except for Brandon Oliver on the waiver wire, but I'm number 5. Because other people have been losing too, I guess.
If you can't get Andre Williams, you can't get Brandon Oliver, you can't get a guy like Benny Cunningham, you know, maybe you do take a flyer on one of those Broncos running backs like a Thompson or an Anderson, because I doubt you get Hellman too. But I'm not keeping Adrian Peterson anymore, and I'm certainly not keeping Jonathan Stewart.
Okay. And if you had to choose one this week, Matt Ryan or Big Ben, who would you pick?
Anthony, what do you think, Matt Ryan or Big Ben here? Matt Ryan's at home against the Bears. Big Ben Roethlisberger is playing against the Cleveland Browns.
Matt Ryan will be on my stardom list this week.
There you go.
Because of those horrible Chicago Bears playing defense as well as being at home. Little fun tidbits for you, so check it out on Thursday. But Matt Ryan's a stardom for me, so I'm going Matty Ice.
Drop it like it's hot. There you go, DJ. What else you got for us? That it?
That's it, man. I appreciate it.
You got it. Best of luck to you.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, I think that Falcons-Bears matchup is going to be one of those matchups for the ages, because neither of them play defense.
Yeah, that should be one we see more than 50 points. If we don't see more than 50 points from Chicago-Atlanta this weekend, I'll be shocked. But if you want me to do something crazy, let me know, because I'll be willing to do it. I mean, I would bet a lot of money on the Chicago-Atlanta game going over 50 points.
There you go. Justin in Boston is up next. He's in a 10-team standard league. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Going well, man.
Nice. Yeah, I plan on making a few moves this week. And who would you recommend picking up? I'll be serving the waiver wire for this week, and it changes each week. At that spot, I'm looking at either Oliver or Hillman.
Andre Williams is gone, I guess?
He is. Someone picked him up on Friday morning or something like that.
Yeah, it's tough. And what about someone like you said Oliver, or who was the other one?
Oliver or Ronnie Hillman.
Ronnie Hillman,
running backs, I guess.
I mean, I'm going for Oliver first and then Hillman.
I was going to try for both of them. If I can get both of them, hey, if not, then one of them is fine, I guess.
It's really a shame that Zach Stacy's playing on Monday night, because if we knew that he wasn't going to play on Sunday, then I'd tell everyone to pick up Benny Cunningham.
That's true.
But because they have the Monday night game, we're not going to know if Zach Stacy's playing or not. And then if he does play, Bennett Cunningham might be just a waste of roster space.
Yeah.
Anthony, what do you think? Hillman or Oliver here?
I'm going Brandon Oliver. He's got a nicer matchup coming into this weekend with the Oakland Raiders. And, you know, he's getting most of the touches. Like we said, we don't know what we're getting out of that Denver backfield right now. So Brandon Oliver, I think, is a safer play.
Best of luck to you, Justin. I appreciate the phone call. Let's go back to Todd in Jacksonville. Maybe his phone is a little bit better this time. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. Phone better now?
Yes, much better.
All right, good, good. Hey, so I was saying running back situation, you know, it's been all
kind of going downhill for me lately. I got Le'Veon, Monty Ball, Joyke Bell, Darren Sproles, and Kerry Robinson.
Okay.
So with Kerry on a bye, I've been looking at it, and the fact that it looks like Ingram's probably coming back after the bye, mm-hmm. shortly thereafter, would you consider dropping him for, say, Andre Williams or Oliver at this point?
I would, and I think I'm going to make that move in my own league. Even if Mark Ingram goes down eventually, there's just way too many running backs in that Saints backfield right now. Pierre Thomas, we saw Travaris Kadek get in on the action. They have a bye this week. Ingram's supposed to be back. I'm with you there. I think I'd rather have one of two running backs in a backfield than one of four. So I'm okay with dropping Kerry Robinson now.
Okay, and also, it's kind of a two-part question. I've got Gronk as my tight end, and I have Ertz as a backup for him. And I was thinking, I was looking on the waiver wire, I see Delaney Walker's out there. I was thinking of dropping Ertz for Walker, but then again, I really would like Brian Quick on my team. So would you consider dropping and not going without a second tight end? I'm just worried about Gronk's injury history. To get Quick or possibly pick up Walker and then drop like Brandon Cooks for Brian Quick.
Well, here's the thing right now. If Delaney Walker's still out there in your league, one, you don't have to worry about him going anywhere because people in your league are senseless. Delaney Walker is like the fifth or sixth highest scoring tight end right now. So he's right. actually doing better than Rob Gronkowski. So yeah. if you just want to deal with risking Delaney Walker still being out there, but I'm going to guess that Dwayne Allen's out there. Yep. Heath Miller's still out there. Is Travis Kelce still out there?
No, Kelsey's gone, and some of these guys in my league are kind of wising up late to it, but they're kind of seeing that, you know, looking out there. And Vernon Davis was just dropped, but that's the
yes.
person. So, I mean, I would be risking it, but.
Anthony, what do you think? I mean, you and I both think Brian Quick's a top 20 receiver now, so do you just leave Delaney Walker out there knowing that he's fine with Gronk?
Man, I mean, it's hard for me to pass up on Brian Quick for Delaney Walker. As great as Delaney Walker is playing, the only time you're really using him is if Gronkowski goes down. I mean, Gronkowski's right. a stud. He's standing in your lineup the whole time. If he goes down, you can scramble for somebody, but there seems to be a lot of tight end options on that waiver wire that will fill in nicely if he goes down. But Brian Quick is going to be almost an every week type player, especially in a PPR league. So if Brian Quick's out there, I'm snatching him up as fast as I can.
There you go, Todd. Okay. Appreciate the phone call. Best of luck to you this weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's jump back into the emails. webradio@patriots.com. I forget where we left off. Hopefully, Anthony, you have that.
I got one pulled up right now from Mike in New York City.
Okay,
says,
great.
Hey, fellas, a guy in my league sent me a trade in a 12-team PPR league. Mike would be receiving Russell Wilson and C.J. Spiller for Giovanni Bernard. Now, his quarterback situation currently, he has Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger.
Listen, I know Russell Wilson looked great on Monday night, and I know he's a consistent 18 to 20-point quarterback. But Big Ben and Brady, if you play the right matchup every week, you can get that from both of those quarterbacks. I'm not sacrificing Giovanni Bernard. In a PPR league, he is, in my eyes, a top five running back. I think he's going to be top five the rest of the way. I think he's going to be at least a 20-point scorer the rest of the way. I can't take on Russell Wilson and C.J. Spiller. It would be a different story if he had maybe he had Carson Palmer, and he's just been struggling since Palmer's questionable every week. And one week he used Brian Hoyer. Maybe he used Kyle Orton this week. But he's got Brady. He's got Big Ben. He's fine at quarterback. He doesn't need to sacrifice Giovanni Bernard just to get Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I can't do that. I love Russell Wilson, but look, Big Ben, he's playing well this year. He did have a down game against Jacksonville, which probably is going to get a lot of people scared. It shouldn't. He's still going to be fine this year. And Tom Brady is slowly coming into his own, it looks like. I mean, this week was a big week for him and that entire Patriots offense. So if they start clicking and firing on all cylinders like they can, Tom Brady is going to be fine. So I would hang on to Gio Bernard, like you said, Bill. He's a stud at running back. You got two guys at quarterback you can rotate. So you got to play the matchups. Speaking of matchups, he also says Big Ben this week against Cleveland or Tom Brady this week against Buffalo.
I really liked. I really like Ben Roethlisberger against the Browns. I have him as my number nine quarterback this week. Brady, I have him at 17. So that one's pretty cut and dry for me. Black and white situation here. Roethlisberger against the Browns, who have just been getting torched by opposing quarterbacks. I'm going Big Ben.
Yeah, the Buffalo defense is looking good. They're holding people down. I mean, Matt Stafford couldn't do much against them last week. So
yeah,
I totally agree. Big Ben coming back this week against Cleveland. Mike, also a little note for our buddy Kevin. He says, Kevin, you need to get an audio clip of when Kevin McAllister's mom screams, Kevin! On the plane in Home Alone to play every time someone asks for you.
There you go. That'd be great.
Get on that, Kevin. That'll be hilarious. We will love it.
Do it for the children.
The children are listening. All right. Next up, we got Joey emailing in. He says, "I'm still holding on to AP until I hear official news, and I'm still 4-1."
Well, let's take a break there.
Yes.
The Adrian Peterson situation is going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. Some new news was released this week saying that he is he's inappropriately spending his charity's funds, meaning he's saying that he's giving all these donations to charity, but really he's spending them to have sex parties in hotels, and he's using his charity credit card to pay for these so-called parties, which may or may not have involved minors. And he's set for trial this week. Apparently he's going to plead not guilty, which is a real boneheaded move because he probably would have got a plea deal. He probably would have got a suspended from the NFL for 6 games. But the NFL is not going to suspend him until the judge makes a ruling, a legal ruling in his case. So to me, Adrian Peterson, he's droppable at this point.
Yeah, I think Adrian Peterson is doable. You can't hold on to him outside of his wildness, having sex parties or whatever he's doing on his free time. He's on trial, and he's pleading not guilty, and this process for the child abuse situation down in Texas is going to take a long time. He's suspended from the NFL, from the team. It's a sticky situation, and you know, from here on out, not even just this year, I don't know how valuable Adrian Peterson is going to be in fantasy ever again. I mean, we don't know what we're going to see from him. So Adrian Peterson, if you got him, drop him. There's a lot better options. I mean, Joey says he's got Brandon Oliver on the waiver wire, the couple guys from the Denver Broncos. Should I drop anybody to pick one of them up? Yeah, drop AP and pick up Brandon Oliver if you can do that. Why not?
Well, we know Adrian Peterson is playing for the Cowboys next year, right? We already know that.
Jerry World, I mean, he wants him. So yeah, if anybody's going to pay for Adrian Peterson, it's going to be Jerry Jones. And
enjoy,
if that happens,
well, you might, to be honest with you, he might not have to pay for him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'll work for free. Yeah, I guess so. You're going to have to pretty soon. So
enjoy while it lasts, DeMarco Murray owners.
Yeah, while you can. They're talking about slowing him down already. I don't know why you would do that, but, you know. What are you going to do?
Well, so, I guess they're just afraid about giving him too much work. What do you think about that, by the way?
You know, running backs used to carry the ball 320, 350 times a season, so it's more of a passing league. But if you have a stud like DeMarco Murray who's putting up 100 yards a game and a touchdown every single week, why would you not want him on the field as much as you can physically have him on there? Yeah, you're risking injury, but this guy is playing like a man possessed this year. I'm not taking the ball out of his hands if I'm Dallas.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think their offensive line is built for him to run through those monster holes, and that's what he's been doing. So, surprised they want to scale back his workload.
Yeah, they're a stud offensive line. They might be the best offensive line in the NFL right now, especially at opening up holes for running backs. I mean, there's canyons open. They're not even holes. There are canyons opened up for DeMarco Murray this year. So,
yep.
Stud. That's all there is to say about that.
All right, who we got next?
Next up, we got Pavin from New Jersey emailing in. Hey, guys, thanks for all the advice. I have Delaney Walker and Jordan Cameron. Can I drop Jordan Cameron for Brandon Oliver or Andre Williams?
Jordan Cameron for Brandon Oliver, Andre. Who was his other tight end?
Delaney Walker.
Yeah, I would do that.
I would feel comfortable, yeah. If Andre Williams is out there, I'm definitely dropping Jordan Cameron for Andre Williams this week.
Yeah, I think I'd do that.
Also, I have Cordarrelle Patterson on my bench. Is it time to drop him?
I would need to know who he's... I mean, is he going to pick up one of those two guys, Brandon Oliver and Andre Williams? I need to know more about his team. Who does he have at wide receiver? I know Cordarrelle Patterson has been very disappointing. I don't know why Norv Turner's not getting him the ball more, but we'll see what happens now that Teddy Bridgewater's under center. I think they can get a little creative with some triple option features and maybe some wildcat formations with Teddy Bridgewater and Cordarrelle Patterson. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that from the Vikings this week.
Yeah, it's a scary situation that they're not getting Patterson the ball a lot more, but I'm not dropping him. What I would do is try to work him into a trade. It's value for somebody, so somebody might want to take a chance on him, so see what you can get for him. You're going to get something better off a trade for him than you're going to off the waiver wire, I think.
Last week I traded Matt Asiata and Cordarrelle Patterson for Travis Kelce and Larry Fitz.
There you go.
I thought that was a good trade. I needed a tight end. I had Zach Ertz. He was driving me crazy.
Yeah,
Zach Ertz. So I didn't mind giving up Asiata.
Asiata, he's a good running back, but he had a lot of his soft matchups already. So he's one of those guys where he padded his stats. Sell high. That's what you had to do, and that's what you did. So I like it.
The way I looked at it was I was getting rid of two guys that are on the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough to package those two guys, and I'm surprised somebody went for it.
Well, I mean, I'm a master negotiator.
Damn right.
So, that's what we get.
All right.
I honestly, whenever this fantasy football business runs dry, I don't think it ever will, but whenever I don't know if I'm ever sick of it either, but I will start a negotiation consulting business at some point in my life.
For what kind of negotiation? Are we talking hot
all types of negotiations?
Don't even matter?
Doesn't matter. If you and your friend are having a debate about what to eat for lunch that day, you can call up the Bill Enright Negotiation Consultation Service, and I will help you, you know, come out with a solid plan that satisfies both parties.
All right, I like it. We're going to keep our ears and eyes open for that, just in case the fantasy football world dries up anytime in the next half a century, which I highly doubt is going to happen. All right, next up we got Neil in PA. He says, hey guys, quick waiver wire question for you. Non-PPR league, running backs, he's got Gio, Alfred Morris, Asiata, Kyrie, Darren Sproles, and Bishop Sankey. Says, I'm thinking of putting in a claim for Brandon Oliver this week and dropping either Hakeem Nicks or Marcus Wheaton. Wheaton has a better upside, but Nicks is a keeper who I would keep through next season. Is it worth dropping Wheaton for Oliver, or should I stand pat with my running backs?
Now, that sounds like a very complicated question. I'd like to have it in front of me because there was a lot of players there.
All right, so basically...
All right, I got it. Basically,
would you drop Hakeem Nicks or Marcus Wheaton to pick up Brandon Oliver?
Yes, absolutely.
Either one of them specifically?
Who do we like more?
They're both on offenses that get the ball spread around. They're both on offenses that can put up points.
I'm going to drop Hakeem Nicks.
I am as well. I like the upside to Marcus Wheaton a little bit better. He's more of a deep threat. He's got younger, fresher legs. So I'm hanging on to Marcus Wheaton and picking up Brandon Oliver if you want to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, let's see.
What do you say we take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to have a fun little game. Kevin, are you going to be up to play our little game with us?
Sure, sounds good.
It's going to be the stat projector game. I'm going to give you guys some stat lines. You're going to have to say if the player is going to finish with more or less than the projected stats through the first, for what they're going to get for the next, 11 or 12 games, depending if they have the bye already. But that's all coming up next. We're going to have some fun in the last segment of the show. Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York,
And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, we're heading toward week 6 of the 2014 NFL season. We got about 20 minutes left in today's show. I would like to know how we did for our primetime pick'em. I don't know, Anthony, if you have those stats in front of you.
Oh, I got them in front of me.
We do have some emails to get to, and then I also want to play a new game, which we have to come up with a more creative name for it, but it's going to be kind of like a more, less, or dead on, or on the money, something like that. But first, Dan, why don't you break down how we did in the Pigskin Pick'em? Primetime, whatever we're calling that, too.
The Primetime Pick'em, myself and Kevin, 2-1 this week, and Bill, 3-0, my friend.
Whoa! How about it, folks? How about it? Which game did you guys get wrong? Patriots game.
The Patriots game, yeah. We both took Cincinnati and looked stupid in the process.
I mean, I went on that rant last week about how Patriot fans, you guys don't realize how lucky you are, and now the team's going to be extra motivated, and now you have a home game against the Bengals, and Andy Dalton doesn't play well in big games. You guys, didn't influence your decision, my little mini rant there?
I wasn't anti-Patriots, but I was just worried that, you know, the Bengals' time to prepare coming off the bye week, they were looking pretty solid, beating up on teams like Atlanta and other teams that look good offensively, and they just, nothing.
And Kevin, shame on you, man.
Shame on me for what?
For picking the Bengals last week.
Well, it's, I mean, what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, but you should know better. See, Kevin, you know what it's very funny. Your situation is very, very unique because you are such a fan. You are such a diehard Patriot fan, but at the same time, you work for the team and you're around the guys a lot and you see things that most fans don't see or learn about, things that most fans would never hear about or know about.
It's all true.
But at the same time, you still have the mentality of a fan. It's very, very unique, very interesting. I'm thinking about doing some kind of, like, personality case study on you.
I mean, I think that I should be submitted, you know, for samples to somebody. I just don't know who.
I agree. I'm going to put together a documentary.
It's probably, no joke, Bill. It's probably why I've lost all my hair, you know, since I've started working here. I thought at first it might have been a thyroid issue, you know, a little bit of an imbalance or whatever. But I think I'm just mentally unstable, I think, you know, is what it comes down to.
I'm telling you, you are going to be one of the featured parts of my documentary.
But it's not. It's not like every day you have a valid point where it's not every day you meet somebody who grew up in a specific area rooting, you know, for a specific team and like going to those games with their father, their uncle or whoever, and then end up, you know, working not only for that team, but kind of like in a field like I do where I can still sort of vent my opinions on them and frustrations, which is like one of the reasons I love my job because there's a lot of people probably in that locker room. Whether it's the equipment guys, the medical guys, you know, the players or the people that book the travel, anybody in that like football ops circle, you know, they might be frustrated or they might be, they can't really say it, you know?
Right.
And we not only get to say it, like working for Patriots.com radio, but we actually get to kind of vent about it in a public forum, which is kind of cool.
Very interesting. I'm telling you, you're in a unique spot, my friend.
And Fred, who's great, you know, to work for because, like, Fred gets his marching orders from up top but then relays to us, you know.
Right.
There's really not a whole lot that's, like, off the table.
Off limits.
You know what I mean? So we can be critical and we can be, you know, we're not just these, like, you know, talking heads that are trying to, like, relay a message from up top.
Or franchise puppets, right.
Yeah, exactly. We're not lapdogs. So it's kind of nice to have that.
That's awesome, and you know that's another kudos to the crafts for being open minded.
Yeah, and it makes like our show and any of the other shows that you know we do, it makes you breathe a little easier when you're doing it because you're not so nervous that you're going to say something that's going to get you in trouble. You know?
Right, like I don't have to have Tom Brady ranked number one on my rankings every week.
No, and it's like when we go in and do a show, like when we start the show, we're not all like kind of you know we're not super cautious and we're not timid about what we have to say about you know the Patriots offense and its lack of you know production over the first month. You know, we can be critical, and we can look at it you know kind of objectively and still not. Think, oh, are we going to get the hammer dropped on us at 6:05 when we get off the air, you know?
All right, so with that being said, I had a 2-1 week last week and 3-0 this week. I mean, that's pretty good, guys.
Yeah, man, you're 5-1 after 2 weeks. You got the lead on both myself and Kevin, who are both sitting at 3-3 right now.
All right, well, this week you guys got to pick it up a little bit.
We got a whole season, all right? It's a marathon, not a sprint.
I'm out to an early lead, and I love it. Let's get into some of these emails right now, and then we're going to get to more or lesser on the money.
All right, we got a couple more emails real quick we'll run through, and then we'll get to this new game we got. All right, quick question real quick. No name on it, but we'll read it off. Non-PPR league trade offer. Matt Stafford and Antonio Brown for Aaron Rodgers and Martellus Bennett.
We don't know more about his situation.
That's it. That's all I got.
I mean, I don't know who he has at running back or wide receiver. That's tough.
I don't. I mean, I don't know who he would even be getting. I guess I'd rather be on the Stafford Antonio Brown receiving end of this deal, but
yeah,
that's just me personally. You know.
And a non-PPR, though, Antonio Brown's still great, but you're probably getting half as many points as you should be.
Yeah, yeah, obviously not as valuable, but I feel like that's the same thing with Martellus Bennett. I mean, he's catching a lot of passes this year. He gets in the end zone, but he's catching a lot of balls. Aaron Rodgers is a little better than Matt Stafford, but again, Matt Stafford is going to be throwing a lot of passes. If Calvin Johnson's out for a while, though, I mean, that's got to bring Stafford's value down a little bit.
Again, I don't know his receiver situation. I don't know his tight end situation, so I really I can't really give a do it or not do it.
Right, right. All right, well, we got one from Big Shooter. Big Shooter in the house. Hey, guys. Wondering if I should add Brandon Oliver or Benny Cunningham in a non-PPR 12-team league. He currently has Zach Stacy, LeSean McCoy, CJ Spiller, and Monte Ball.
I would add at least one of them. Probably Benny Cunningham, since he has Zach Stacy.
Yeah, I would definitely add Benny Cunningham. It says, I have two IR spots open, so I can move Monte Ball and Zach Stacy to those spots and pick up both of them. So,
I mean, do that. Yeah, sure.
If you can do it, do it.
See, he knows what he's doing. He just likes to email in and share some of the nickname, clever nicknames that he gives some of these players.
I like it. I definitely like it. So he's got a stardom cinema question, but Big Shooter, email us back on Thursday and we'll answer it then. We can't get into that right now. And finally, our last email from Diego in D.C. Two quick PPR questions, guys. Should I trade away Kelvin Benjamin for Steve Smith?
I have them very, very close to each other on the rest of the way rankings. I do give Steve Smith the slight edge, though. So, you know, if you really, I don't think it's much of an upgrade, but a slight edge.
Yeah, you're not getting much out of him, but Steve Smith is just, man, he's playing out of his mind this year. So I would grab Steve Smith if I could.
Yeah.
And number two, should I drop Darren McFadden for Brandon Oliver?
Yes, I hate Darren McFadden.
Yes, totally agree, 100%. Done.
Yeah, done.
All right, well, emails are out for the day, my friend.
All right, we did a great job with the emails. I want to thank all the emailers, all the callers. Now, we can try to get creative and come up with a really cool name for this kind of game that we're about to play, or we can just, you know, act like men and just call it what it is. More, less, or dead on, more, less, on the money. What I'm going to do is I'm looking at our stat projector. I'm going to say, okay, here's an example. Peyton Manning is on pace to throw for 5,172 yards. More, less, or on the money. But obviously it's going to get a little bit more fun than just a Peyton Manning example. But I will start off with quarterbacks, okay?
All right.
So we're going to do, Kevin, you ready to answer some questions too?
I'm ready.
All right. Drew Brees is on pace to finish with the same amount of interceptions as Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Blake Bortles, which is 19, okay? So Drew Brees on pace to match the interception rate of Geno Smith, Blake Bortles, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Will Drew Brees finish with more, less, or on the money? 19 touchdowns.
Interceptions, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
Touchdowns.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Oh, man.
What's he got right now, Billy?
Right now he has... That's a good question, Kevin. Let me pull that up for you.
That's germane to the conversation.
He has six.
Okay, I'm going to go with less.
Okay, so less than 19 touchdowns. Drew Brees heading into the bye.
You mean 19? What do you think? 19 picks, right?
Yeah. Why do I keep saying that?
I don't know. I'm going to go. Terrible. So mark me down. So Drew Brees less than 19 picks.
Okay. All right.
I think he goes over 19 interceptions this year.
Over 19.
Yeah, wow. Especially if Jimmy Graham misses some time, it's going to be tough. I mean, six picks for him through these first couple games is—he's not looking like the old Drew Brees. He just doesn't look like himself. So I say he's going to throw for more than 19.
All right, two quarterbacks are on pace to score more than 45 touchdowns: Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. Other than that, only one, two, three quarterbacks are even close to getting to 40. They're all on pace to score 38 touchdowns. Jay Cutler, Philip Rivers, or Aaron Rodgers, will they get to 38 touchdowns, more, less, or on the money?
For all three of those people?
Yes, for all three of them. Let's start off with Aaron Rodgers. More or less around the money, 38 touchdowns.
More.
Kevin?
Yeah, I'm going to go with more as well.
Rivers, 38 touchdowns.
I'm going to go with on the money for that.
Okay, that's a good bet.
I think Philip Rivers throws for less than 38.
Less than 38. Interesting.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler now.
I'm going to go less.
Less, okay.
I think Jay Cutler goes over 38.
Wow, so you think Cutler has more touchdowns than Philip Rivers by the end of the year, huh?
I do. Yes, I do.
Very, very interesting.
That NFC North,
very
man. They throw a lot of passes, so
They sure do. Okay, let's move over to running backs. A couple running back pop questions here. Not pop quizzes, but you know what I mean. DeMarco Murray is on pace to be the next 2,000-yard rusher in the NFL. He'll be joining a very elite group. Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson, Barry Sanders, Jamal Lewis, Eric Dickerson, O.J. Simpson, Terrell Davis, and I think I'm forgetting one person. Did I say O.J.? Yeah, I think I did. Anyway, DeMarco Murray on pace to rush for 2,144 yards. I'm not going to say 2,100 yards. I'm going to say 2,000 yards. More, less, or on the money?
I'm going to go with less.
Less than 2,000 yards.
I got to say less, too. Injury prone, and they're trying to work him out a little bit, so I'm going to go with under 2,000 yards for DeMarco Murray.
Okay. Sticking with the running backs, but I'm going to go to receiving yards. The last running back ever to have 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. Anyone know that answer?
LaDainian Tomlinson?
I think it was.
If anybody did it, it's got to be him.
I know he had 100 catches that one year, but did he have 1,000?
I don't think anyone's done 1,000 receiving yards any time, maybe ever. I looked something up a few weeks ago, and Giovanni Bernard was on pace for just under 800, and that would have been the most since, I mean, I think there's only been 2 700-yard receiving backs since, like, 2000.
I wish I had LT stats in front of me. I know he had that one year with 100 yards, or 100 catches, and he had, like, 33 touchdowns or 31 touchdowns.
Yeah, let's see. I'm looking him up right now. LaDainian Tomlinson, our buddy LaDainian Tomlinson.
My all-time favorite. Off, by the way, my all-time favorite fantasy player.
He went off in 2006 to the tune of 31 total touchdowns, 1,800 yeah. rushing yards, 28 rushing touchdowns, caught 56 passes that year for 508 yards. A few years prior, he caught 100 balls for 725 yards and four touchdowns.
Didn't get it. All right, so I didn't get it. Anyway. My point is, Matt Forte is awfully close to getting to that 1,000-yard receiving and 1,000-yard rushing mark. He's on pace to get 957 rushing receiving yards, 957, to go along with his 1,021 rushing yards. He's only projected to score 3 touchdowns, but his receiving and rushing yards is going to get close to him to 2,000 yards combined. So, more or less receiving yards for Matt Forte, 950. He's on pace for 957.
I go less.
Less? Okay.
Yeah, I can't see that many receiving yards. I got to go under for Matt Forte as well.
All right, under for Matt Forte. Another receiving question for running backs. There are 5 running backs right now that are projected to get over 70 receptions. Pierre Thomas, Justin Forsett, Le'Veon Bell, Fred Jackson, incredible, and Matt Forte. Now, there are 13 running backs, including those guys, that are scheduled to get over 50. So only 5 over 70, but 13 over 50. More, less, or on the money for 5 running backs going over 70 receptions this year. You guys follow what I'm asking?
I got you.
All right. So right now we have 70 that are on pace to get over 70 receptions. Or, excuse me, we have 5 that are on pace to get over 70 receptions. But 13 are on pace to get over 50. So more or less are on the money for 5 running backs getting over 70 receptions this year.
I'm going to go more.
More than 5 getting over 70 catches?
Yeah.
Okay. Anthony, what do you think?
I think on the money for that bad boy, just, on the money.
Just because in my only rationale for it is just the way that the league is kind of changing and transforming into more of a passing league.
Okay.
And I think that you're also seeing, the one thing that may detract from it is you're seeing kind of the evolution of a lot of teams now don't have that, like, one bell cow back.
That's true.
And, like, for example, what's killing most, you mentioned the Eagles earlier, Bill, and how a lot of their players are killing us in fantasy.
Destroying us.
I think one of the things that I was kind of cautious about going in, because I have LeSean McCoy and he's a keeper of mine, but I was cautious in kind of tapering my expectations on him when they decided to bring Sproles in. Because I'm like, they're not just going to bring Sproles in and sit him down or just use him as a punt returner. So you're starting to see these guys, these player personnel guys for teams, realize, that injuries are inevitable. And also, if you can limit the wear and tear on that so-called bell cow back, he's more likely to make it through till the end of the season. And if he does get hurt, if you have another tailback that can carry the load, then it's almost like you're not missing a step. So that's the one thing that may hurt that number. But I think overall, in general, the league is becoming so pass happy, I wouldn't be shocked at all if there are more than five.
Okay. Makes sense. Solid argument. Sound argument. Which we love in the PPR format, don't we, Ant?
Love it.
All right, let's move over to wide receivers, guys. It probably is not a surprise to hear that Julio Jones is on pace to lead the league in receiving yards with 1,766 yards, and he's also on pace to lead the league in receptions with 128. Second behind him is Emmanuel Sanders of the Denver Broncos, also on pace to reach 128 receptions and 1,740 receiving yards. So, on the money, over, more or less, are on the money. Emmanuel Sanders, second in the league in receiving this year.
I'm going to go less.
Yeah, I mean, he can't finish. I don't think he can finish more. I don't think we think he's going to be number one.
No, I don't think he'll be two either.
Are you saying yards or receptions?
Let's say, all right, let me rephrase this one. Emmanuel Sanders right now is projected to be number two in receptions and receiving yards. Will he be in the top five in both categories, more, less, or over, on the money?
I'm going to say he won't be in the top five.
Will not be in the top five. Yes. Okay. He's on pace to be number two right now.
I think there's too many other options in that. All
right. Anthony, what say you?
In both those categories, top five. I mean,
because you got to take into account Welker missed what, the first three of those games.
Yes,
the five
he did.
So it's like you got to take that into account. It's going to start balancing out a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Demaryius Thomas looks like he's turning around. I mean, you got Jordy Nelson, Antonio Brown, Jeremy Maclin. They're all playing real well. If Calvin Johnson misses a lot of time, Golden Tate catches a lot of balls. I'm going to say no. He doesn't reach the top five in both of those categories.
Okay. There are currently six wide receivers that are on pace to have over 100 receptions in 2014 and a total of 12 wide receivers to have over 90. More, less, or on the money, eight wide receivers will have over 100 catches this year. Right now, there's six. One of them is Brandon Cooks, by the way, which says a ton about that rookie. Boy, oh boy, he's on pace for 102. So, again, six wide receivers are on pace to have over 100 catches this year. 12 are on pace to have over 90.
So you're...
So more or less are on the money for eight to catch over 100.
100 balls? I'm going to go more.
More? Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are low on this list that I'm thinking of that could just blow up.
Exactly, because I think overall, in general, the league the first month has been kind of sloppy.
Kevin, it's like that every year. Yeah, so I always say that.
Yeah, so I think that you're only going to see guys catching more balls and more points scored as we go forward.
Yeah, I like the over.
Both of you are going more.
Yes.
By the way, T.Y. Hilton is on this list, and he's on pace for 99 catches this year. You know, everyone thinks of him as a big play, inconsistent guy, but folks. Him and Reggie Wayne, both on this list, actually. 99 and 96 catches for
Reggie Wayne,
both of the Colts receivers.
Fountain of youth.
Yeah,
Fountain
totally. Want to do one last one for the tight ends and move over to tight ends?
Sure.
Okay. Let me bring this puppy up here. All right. Let me try to find a good one for tight ends. All right. Julius Thomas.
Evil laugh.
Oh, it's a good one. Julius Thomas currently has seven touchdowns in four games.
He is on pace to finish with 28 touchdowns. More, less, or on the money, 20 touchdowns for Julius Thomas. 20. He's on pace for 28. He already has
more,
seven.
More.
More than 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's Peyton's guy down there.
Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say more just because
it's insane.
The rest of that offense is turning around. But you know what? Every year, the last couple of years, we're seeing a tight end catch, 15, 16, 17 touchdown passes. If anybody's going to break it.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's Peyton's Binky.
He is.
He really is.
I got to go over as well. I mean, it's just he's on pace for 28. That's taking eight away from him just to get to 20.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Bill. I'm just going off the top of my brain because I haven't had a chance to look up anything. He had 3.5, I think.
He did.
Earlier
week
this
one.
Year. Yeah,
week
so
one
it's like I think he can do 20.
All right. Well, he's on pace for 28, guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
20 is certainly attainable.
Yeah, I like the over.
All right, one last one to end the show. Believe it or not, Martellus Bennett is on pace for 102 catches.
Dang.
He currently has 32. More, less, or on the money, 85 catches for Martellus Bennett this year.
Oh, it's tough.
I'm going to go with more. 89.
89, okay.
89 balls for Martellus freaking Bennett.
He has 32. 32 catches, he's on pace for 102.
I'll go opposite. I'll take the under.
Take the under, all right.
Because it's Martellus Bennett.
All right. So that was a fun new little segment we can do show.
I like that.
That's fun, right?
Yeah. You got one call to clean up, too, Bill, if you want, before we wrap up.
Oh, there's a caller on the line?
Yeah, one of your boys.
Oh, Bustle in New York City. I combined his name with, I don't want to say it on the air, but Russ and
I saw him tweeting earlier, so we got to get him on.
Yes, Russell in New York City. Hey, man, how's it going?
Oh, what's up, guys? How's it going today?
Russell.
Russell is one of the few people that listen to the show and that I actually follow on Twitter, too. I don't really follow a lot of people on Twitter because sometimes they're maniacs. But I follow Russell. What's that?
I'm flattered by that, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm looking through my timeline and I see, not mentioned toward me, just a tweet that Russell sent out. He traded away Brandon Marshall and traded for Golden Tate. So I immediately responded, one word, dumb. And then Russell sends back, well, we'll see. And, you know, he probably, trying to look up some stats to send back in my way. But I'm sorry, Russ. I think that was a dumb move.
All right. So I know how you feel about it, so I'm calling it to let me talk you through what's going through my head, all right? Because I know what you're going to say. You're going to stick to your projections. You're going to tell me I sold low and I bought high and all that. But I'm 4-1 in my league. I'm looking at Brandon Marshall week in and week out. Now, let me ask you a quick question because I probably know the answer. Do you have the ticket? Do you watch every game every weekend?
Yes.
Okay, Anthony, do you have the ticket?
I rock the red zone.
Yeah? Yes or no?
I don't have a Sunday ticket, no.
All right, okay. So forget about that. That's not important. But the thing is, I've been watching because Cutler's my quarterback. So
okay.
With Cutler and Marshall, I'm very overweight the Chicago Bears. So I've been very tuned in every week to the Bears game.
All right.
And hit on a prior point that you were making with your over-under on Martellus Bennett, and even with Alshon Jeffrey, the last few weeks, and I know it's probably because Marshall's a little gimpy, but a lot of the love has been going to Jeffrey and Bennett. And Marshall is just, for whatever reason, he's not getting the looks. Now, at being 4-1, I think if I can just string together another couple of wins, I'm going to be in a good position to make the playoff round, which is, as you guys know, that's what it's all about. I don't need to go 10-2. I just got to make it to the dance and have a couple of good weekends, and I'm going to pocket the 10K. So, you know, I mean, I can hear what Bill, you would be saying about, you know, you don't drop a second round pick for a guy like Golden Tate, but, you know, the dispersion of targets and, you know, by the way, Golden Tate's outscoring him by about 18 fantasy points right now.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get the targets. He's going to end up being a flex because I've got Demaryius Thomas and Kelvin Benjamin as my other wide receivers. So I'll slot Tate into the flex. Still have exposure to that Bears offense with Cutler. So, you know, that's just some of my rationale for it, and, you know, I wanted to let you know where my head was at.
All right, well, here's what I'm thinking. I got to put him on hold just for a second here because his phone was turning into, a transformer, and I couldn't hear anything he was saying toward the end. The problem that I don't like this trade is, one, we don't know if Golden Tate will be as good with Calvin Johnson being out. Maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's going to be worse for Golden Tate, just like it is for Michael Crabtree when Vernon Davis isn't on the field. Maybe Golden Tate gets double-teamed and he can't deal with it. Maybe Golden Tate has been beating up on team's second and third defensive backs because so much attention has been toward Calvin Johnson. I love Golden Tate. He was one of my sleepers of the year. You probably draft him as your wide receiver three, and he's been good enough to be putting up wide receiver type one numbers. That's phenomenal. But a guy like Marshall is a rare talent, a focal point of the offense when he's healthy. He is a consistent 100 reception, 1,300 double-digit touchdown guy. Look at his stats going back to Denver with Jay Cutler. Even when he was with Miami, he was getting 85 catches for 1,000 yards. I'm not saying that Golden Tate is not going to be able to put up 1,300 yards this year, 90 catches, but I just think Marshall's a bigger threat in the red zone. Once it starts getting really bad weather in December and late November in Chicago, I think Marshall becomes alive for some reason. He excels in the cold weather. I don't think it's a bad trade, but it's just one that I wouldn't have made. I don't think you improved your team. I don't think you made it worse, except for the fact that when come playoff time, I'm banking on Brandon Marshall leading me to a championship.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Man, you know, in a PPR league, honestly, I like the trade because Brandon Marshall is just not on pace to set those numbers that you just said. Yeah, I mean, he's on pace to get 60 receptions for 600 yards. His touchdown total is looking like it could be a career high. He's on pace for 15 touchdowns, which is great. But Golden Tate, man, he's going to get a lot of catches. He's going to get a lot of yardage. He's going to get into the end zone every once in a while. So in a PPR league, I do like the trade. If it's standard scoring, I don't. But like you said, it's almost, you know, half dozen of one, sixth of another. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
It's a flip flop. But in a PPR league, I'm not against it. In a standard league, I don't like it. But PPR, I'm okay with it.
Russell, thanks for calling in, man. You're a good dude for coming
thanks,
on there,
man.
even though you knew I was going to rip you.
We love Russell.
Love you guys too.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy, man.
All right, so we had a fun show today. Hopefully we helped everyone with their waiver wire selections. Kevin Collins, we got to wrap up today. Do you have anything, final words to say?
I was pumped up and looking forward to Thursday.
I mean, hey, you're undefeated in your league, so I'd be pumped up for every week.
5-0 in the league that matters. I'm really excited about it.
Don't pull an 0-7.
I'll try not to.
There you go.
That was a little bit of a low blow, Bill.
I know it was.
I got nothing right now, man. Nothing.
All right, I want to wish everyone the best of luck. Go out and check out ffchamps.com/Pats. We got the Millionaire Maker for week 6. We got all your waiver wire advice up on the site. If you missed any part of the show today, you can always listen to us on the Patriots mobile app. Hit us up on Twitter. There you go. At Bill Enright, at Pats Radio _Kev, at the PPR Monster, at FF Champs. Thank you so much for listening today. Enjoy the rest of your week.
$1 million.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.